Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, all of my wonderful listeners and supporters on this Sunday, June 26, 2022. I do hope and pray everyone is blessed and well. And I am actually starting a series today, a four-part series entitled Blessed by Jesus to be Alive at 45. Today is part one. I praise the Lord. Come Friday, July 1st, God willing, I will be turning 45 years old. I will have completed 45 trips around the sun, so to speak. And I am delighted, truly, with them. It's not just one of those things I'm saying to sound cliche or, trite or whatever the case may be. I truly, genuinely, honestly feel so elated and excited to be entering this next year of life. And that's why I wanted to do this four-part series to share with all of you reasons why I am so blessed and delighted. But I'm going to start first with just giving a summary of what the last few weeks have been like for me, the month of June, the last show that I did. For graduates, Divine Life Lessons with the latter part of May. I think it may have been over Memorial Day weekend. So it's been about a month, and June has just whizzed by. I have been helping my mother transition to a new facility where she's living, and I have been in the process of helping to get some things that transferred and some close out tasks for my position, now my prior position with the school district. And I actually began the process of cleaning out my garage. And I got through my son, some of my son's keepsakes, and made the very difficult decision of what to keep and what to discard. There are just so many items piled up, memorabilia, first grade spelling papers and such things that did not need to be necessarily kept at this point with him being 22. So it was definitely liberating to begin to sort of, make my way through those piles and those stacks. And it's actually refreshing. So that's going well. I'm continuing that process after my birthday, actually after I returned from my birthday trip, which I will share with you some details about that shortly. Summer is my favorite season, though, apart from the suffocating standing heat that typically comes around this time of the year. But again, my birthday occurs during that time. It's an opportunity for renewal and reflection. We did successfully finish Vacation Bible School in June. We had a bit of a hiccup midway between, but we were able to finish that out this past week and have our presentation to the congregation and the kiddos. I'm so proud of them. I thank God for my brothers and sisters in Christ in the church who helped to orchestrate and implement this particular program and this series for the children on Glowing in the Dark for Jesus, as we spoke about how dark our world is today And yet the light that we shine, that shines within us, the light of Jesus, can bring about healing and optimism and hope and security and joy and all of those other wonderful. We did have Father's Day. Of course, most recently I got the opportunity to spend some time with my father and the gift my sisters and I got for him, which he's really excited about and enjoy. It's something that he needs and will provide benefit to him. I've also been helping out with some kids at a summer camp. I've been providing counseling and assistance to these children in Millington, so that's been a blessing. Another way the Lord is using me. And, of course, yay, I am going to be leaving on Wednesday for my birthday trip. This is a trip that I was actually planning back in 2020 before the pandemic came. I was intending to go to Canada. It was actually going to be a Canadian cruise initially. Because I've wanted to get to Canada ever since I was like 30 years old, because my birthday is actually on Canada Day, July 1st. Of course, all that had to be postponed due to the coronavirus. So this year, especially with my son, you know, currently residing up in that area, the Air Force Base in New Jersey, I said, wow, you know, we can take this opportunity to travel to Canada because it's so close to where he is. We're actually going to New York first to see the Statue of Liberty, take the ferry tour, and then we have a tour of New York, and then we will be headed to Niagara Falls. First time ever seeing the falls, and I am very enthusiastic about. I've read and researched a lot, and I've heard from others who've been, including my older sister, about how awesome and spectacular is there. And then we will cross over the border into Canada and see Toronto, London, Montreal, and Quebec. So very, very energized and eager for that opportunity, and I'll be sharing more when I return, taking plenty of pictures and video. So those are my praise reports. I have to say that this past week, the Lord healed a coworker, a former coworker. Praise the Lord. It's, you know, such a blessing with this critical situation that existed. But, you know, the Lord's divine healing hand stepped in to restore that person to health. And so I just praise the Lord. Other prayer requests, continue to pray for the families of the Buffalo and Uvalde incidences. They are still grieving, still mourning, still trying to heal and put the pieces of their lives back together, as well as family members of the two other mass shootings that occurred in Alabama and I think Nevada. These were the older gentlemen, I think one was 60 and one was 70, who went into the churches and then started, you know, shooting people and did kill some people. We want to pray for the family members of those who were victimized in those instances as well. And I do have some to share later of that, my whole take and perspective on it, you know, for what it's worth. We want to pray for those suffering from ailments and illnesses and infirmities of various kinds and types, whether they be chronic illnesses or terminal, or, you know, the Lord knows And I just uplift those individuals right now to him for covering, for restoration, and for, you know, his miraculous healing power. I want to pray over our children who are clearly under attack by the enemy. They are confused, misled, deceived. There is certainly a strategic effort to possess our children and their minds and their spirits. So we really have to call out those demonic forces and plead the blood of Jesus over the lives of our young people, because it is rough today. It is just a battle. It's clearly a spiritual battle and warfare. And Ephesians chapter 6, right, verses 10 through 18 tells us that we all need to be outfitted with the armor of God. And we have got to be continually in prayer. The Word of God says pray without ceasing, because that truly is how the power of God, how we, you know, call down the power of God to earth to move and work. So let's pray. Dear Father God in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for continuing to be there for us, to guide us, direct us, lead us, for your loving kindness, your grace and mercy. Lord, I just ask that you would forgive me of my sins in any way I've transgressed your word. I thank you, Lord, for divine favor that you show in so many ways to me, as I've received so many blessings and gifts I don't deserve. Most of all would be salvation and eternal life. Lord, I just ask that you continue to use me and work through me your will and your desire, your vision, through my hands, Lord, and through my body, because I know my body is not my own. It belongs to you, and I'm a steward of it. So, Lord, I just completely surrender myself to you, and I submit so that I can be used by you for your glory. Lord, I bring to you in prayer these particular situations that I have mentioned, Lord, that these particular groups of individuals would just be able to receive blessings, Lord, and that you would intervene in lives and in hearts and in minds. Send forth your will through your word, Lord, to be manifested throughout the earth. And Lord, give us the courage and the strength to shine and glow for you each and every day. I thank you, Lord, that I do have a birthday coming up, and I'm so glad to see it. And Lord, above all, I just want to have that dialogue with you where you are revealing to me what you have next on the mission agenda for me as your daughter, as your child, as a believer and a disciple, because it is truly where I find the most joy, the most contentment is in pleasing you. I ask all these things in your son, Jesus Christ, holy and precious name. Amen. So, I want to talk for a few minutes, and I specifically didn't open with a song today. I couldn't decide. I have so many on my heart. Yesterday I was actually listening to some John P. Key songs, but there are so many that speak to where I am in my life right now spiritually, and how I feel the Lord has moved me and inspired me. So I couldn't make up my mind as far as the song I wanted to share, but I will, you know, definitely do that going forward in our series as we have our other broadcasts. But I wanted to first talk a little bit more about June. I mentioned the Glow for Jesus theme that we had for Vacation Bible School. And also, you know, Juneteenth was, of course, earlier this month, last week, and I am going to speak more about the, I had a Facebook post entitled Recognizing and Respecting Our Collective Humanity. But I did have the opportunity to go to a Juneteenth event and support local business owners and people of the community, which to me is huge, being able to actually go out there and be a part of contributing toward the success of people, places, professionals in the community with regard to Juneteenth and one of its principles, which is really, you know, unity and prosperity and, you know, financial and economic advancement. Obviously, from a modern perspective, from a historical perspective, we know it's just, you know, having the freedom to even be able to do those things, which was, you know, coming off of the the slavery era into that that liberation. But, you know, June has been a great month. And I did publish 4 more books. These books are all, 3 of them, the 3 nonfiction, they were written some years ago, but I've just gotten around to publishing them. One of them is actually educationally based, 30 Better Things to Do Than Be a Bully. And you go on my website, aceagency.org, aaceagency.org. Again, aaceagency.org, standing for the Academic Achievement and Character Education Counseling Agency. You can see a link to it there. It is on Amazon, but it is published under the Academic Achievement and Character Education Counseling Agency, which is my nonprofit. And it just simply talks about, it doesn't necessarily need to be for people who would be considered bullies, quote unquote, or even have had bullying behaviors. This is more of a proactive, preventive measure for children and youth to recognize that there are so many other things, more productive things, advantageous, that they can do and ways to invest themselves in their times and their talents than belittling others, demeaning others, degrading others, being rude, being cruel, being mean. And that, you know, the idea is this: when we do channel our efforts and our energy into actualization and self-development, then there is no time to do things that would be hurtful to others. And it just lists these 30 activities. It's great for Christian youth camps or youth groups or community centers or Bible studies or any events at Christian schools that you can use, you know, these activities and make it some kind of even project-based show and tell presentation, talent shows. There are a lot of different ways you can utilize that. But again, aceagency.org, 2 A's, aaceagency.org, 30 Better Things to Do Than Be a Bully, and 40 Facts of Life for Young Christians, and Embrace the Divine Experience with Jesus Christ. Those are on FBB4U.com, Faith Building Books for the number 4U.com, and you can actually get those from there, downloaded, the Embrace the Divine Experience of Jesus Christ, which is devotionals for like 100 very short devotionals, and 10 prayers. I know that's downloadable at FBB4U.com. I have a link there. It's also on Amazon. And then 40 Facts of Life for Young Christians. I think I shared that during the Divine Life Lessons episode from May. And you can review those. It's great for graduates or for young people. Mid to latter adolescence, or you know, anyone up to 40 who'd be considered a young adult, but even it may help those who are over 40 as well to just be reminded of these facts that help us to live our best lives and be in tune and in accord with how God wants us to conduct ourselves and to be disciples in this world for Him. So, again, Faith Building Books, FBB4U.com. And my Christian fiction, this is book number 9, Love No Limit, Love Never Fails. You can read about that on Amazon. It's also on the FBB4U.com under the Christian fiction, the novels. So I just finished that and published it. And I can tell you it's really a tribute to marriage and the beauty of marriage. So I'm divorced, and I don't hide that. That's a part of my life and my experience. Of course, I wish it were not so. I wish it had not ended up that way, but that is the way that it ended up. And that was a result of imprudence and indiscretion and poor decision-making on my part and not, you know, going about my own way instead of really tuning into the Holy Spirit. That does happen. Unfortunately, in our world, in our lives, whether it's with marriage or some other aspect of our lives, and there are consequences for that. But I can say that I do truly see the beauty and the blessing and the value in marriage as an institution created by God, a sacred institution at creation. A part of His creation was that first marriage between the man and the woman, Adam and Eve. And so I know that it can work and it does work because it's two imperfect people coming together. It's not going to be a cakewalk or perfect, right, because we do live in a fallen world. However, in spite of that reality, there are and can still be beautiful, long-lasting marriages, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60-plus years, where people, the two really want to be together and are in love and centered on the Lord as their guide and their leader. So anyway, Love No Limit, Love Never Fails, just to give you a very brief overview. It's about a couple, a husband and wife, the Gonzalez's, who have been married 25 years, and they are celebrating their anniversary by going to a Christian matrimonial retreat. Their marriage is experiencing some difficulties, very serious challenges and issues, and they're going to this retreat to reconnect with each other and visit the times and help to restore hope and get back on track in a way that their marriage can thrive and prosper. And so much comes out in this one weekend, this Memorial Day weekend, about their past. And you see as you read the book, it kind of it alternates back and forth between present day and past years, all the way back to when they met in high school, and the fact that they've been together for 30 years, but it has not all been peaches and cream and roses. And you see that in the book, but what the consistent theme is that they never give up on their marriage. They never give up. And the wife, Doralee Gonzalez, is when she comes to Christ at a certain point in the book, can see how she just insists upon fighting for her marriage from a spiritual perspective and not giving the devil a foothold. So it's, you know, again, it's a great tribute, I believe, and I believe that's why the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. Although my marriage did not work out or last, but the Holy Spirit still speaking through me about the beauty of it and the ministry of marriage to the world, of the power of God and how the faith in Jesus holds true, and through him all things are possible. We can overcome and we can persevere by standing strong in him. So Love No Limit, Love Never Fails, Amazon.com, and then I shared some with you about the upcoming trip. So today I really wanted to talk about 45 blessings that I've had in my life from 1977, the year I was born, to 2022. And I have to say that, you know, I feel, first of all, incredibly blessed that I'm often told that I don't look this age or near my age, and I just give all the glory to God and the genes that he gave me and my family, because I have an 80-year-old aunt who looks 25 years, you know, younger than her age, and, you know, so it runs in my family. And I do feel blessed, because I know that's just, you know, a gift that I can say that he, you know, gave me in that regard, or that was passed down to me through my lineage. But I never try to hide my age, even though I technically probably could. I am glad to be 45. I am blessed by Jesus to be alive at 45. And, you know, that's something I declare and proclaim to the world. There's nothing wrong. It's a great thing to say that I've been able to live this long and be healthy and well. So I'll start with 1977, the year I was born. I was born healthy and well. Amen. That's a blessing. 1978, I learned to walk and talk. I was an early walker and an early talker. I think I was walking at 9 or 10 months, and talking right at a year old, or a little under a year. 1979, I got potty trained, I believe. I knew I was potty trained shortly after 2 years old, I believe. 1980, I learned to read. I was an early reader. I was reading by age 3. And that's why I'm such a bookie, book lover. You know, I've got my book set aside that I'm going to read, you know, on the plane, on the trip, or just other times when I'm trying to go to sleep at night. Of course, I'll have my Bible. I also have my other devotional readings and journals and some other books, leisure, pleasure reading. 1981, I became a big sister. My little sister was born. Now, at the time, to be honest with you. I did not see it as a blessing. I was really angry because I was being displaced as the baby. But, you know, now, and it took a long time to see it as a blessing. I was an adult before I really saw it as a blessing. But indeed, I do now, and I'm so grateful for her. I'm just so incredibly grateful to the Lord to have my older sister and my younger sister. Because then if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be in the marvelous middle. And that's what it is. 1982, I started kindergarten in Germany. Let me tell you, I was just 5 years old. I don't remember much about it. But what I do vaguely recall, kindergarten is, obviously the word kindergarten is a German word, you know, meaning children's garden or the garden of the children, but in a literal sense. But what I really think I enjoyed most about kindergarten in Germany, first of all, most of these were the Department of Defense Dependent Schools because my dad was in the Army, so we were stationed there. But everybody came to kindergarten already reading, already forming sentences, writing sentences, all of that. So it was not as it functions in America, which a lot of cases is to teach children basics. It was definitely more of a Montessori type of style, very exploratory, experimental, in terms of just learning, you know, social skills and even some of those higher level academic, you know, skills, because we were at the point where we could learn those. So it was just it's just different from how it functions in America, where there's so much stress on teachers and on kiddos who haven't been prepared in early childhood, either at home or through, so you know, preschool programs to, you know, to really know the basics in terms of their numbers or letters or reading or you know, writing simple words, phonics and things like that. It does create a lot of stress. Believe it or not, 5 years old is really old to teach somebody to read for the first time. You know, children, you know, they have the ability to start reading once they start talking because they can start forming out and sounding out words. So 2 or 3 years old, the child does have the ability to read. They just have to be groomed and molded in the proper way. Anyway, 1983, I started Brownie Girl Scout. I was a Brownie Girl Scout for a few years, but I really loved that and, you know, the activities and experiences that we received. Sold the Girl Scout cookies, did all those things. We could go door to door back then. That was how we, you know, did it primarily, or, you know, your mom or dad took the, you know, sheet to school or took the sheet to work and people filled it out, and then you turned it in to your troop leader, and the cookies came, and you were so excited. The cookies came, and you could deliver them to people, and or your parents could take them and deliver them to their coworkers. So all that was a lot of fun. The camping trips, you know, things that we used to do, the programs. And so 1984, I have my favorite elementary school teacher, Miss Francis, in second grade. And she, I have a funny little story about her, because she was an African-American lady. And I remember one time, it was sometime that falling asleep, or they let us take a nap. It wasn't something we did regularly, but something was going on. And that day, maybe we'd come back for a field trip, I can't remember. And so we were taking a nap, and I woke up and I thought I wasn't home. Because we didn't normally take naps in school. I think I went over to her desk, and I was reminded, I was like, Mama. And she said, Stacey, I think you're a very sweet little girl, but I am not your mama. And I was like, oh, you know. So, but she was a great teacher. She let me read a lot in class, which I really liked. So did her student teacher. Her student teacher let me read a lot in class. I loved to read aloud. In 1985, we moved back to Germany. So we've been to Germany. We've been to Mannheim. The early 80s, and then we were in South Carolina, Fort Jackson, for a while, then we moved back to Germany, Augsburg. And the next 3 years of my life were amazing. Best time of my whole childhood. Augsburg, Germany. In 1986, I met my best friends there, reconnected on Facebook with them. Many years later, I never realized I would, you know, be able to do that because we wrote letters for a time after I moved. But then, of course, you get, you know, your life gets busy and that stops. And but I was able to reconnect with them on Facebook. So again, they're positive, social media. And in 1960, 9 years old. I know that sounds younger, but it was all completely pure innocence. Absolutely, of course. But it was exciting times to be on the cusp, on the brink of the adolescence and just, you know, the natural attraction developing in that way. All very innocent, of course. 1987, I reached the double digits and I had the best 10-year-old birthday party. It was just, man, it was what you'd call lit today in modern day terms. We had pizza and cake and watched the movies and played the board games and all that. In 1988, I saw my older sister graduate from high school in Germany, and I looked up to her so much. I still do to this day. She's one of my primary role models in life, and I felt like I was graduating. I remember taking one of my notebooks at school and writing 88, 88 all across the top like I was graduating in 1988. It was very exciting. She was getting a lot of honors. She was salutatorian in her class. She got a lot of honors. And it gave me, you know, inspiration, right, because she was setting the stage and the pathway for me. In 1989, my dad became an officer, a warrant officer in the military, and I started junior high school. So my life, you know, changed at that point in terms of we had, you know, in our staff. In 1990, I became an official teenager. I turned 13, thrilling 13, as they say. 1991, I started high school, which was the magnet program here in the Memphis, Tennessee, and somebody called it optional, but, you know, in Georgia, we called it the magnet program. And we were stationed at Fort Benning at the time, and that was the first class that year for that program. And it's amazing experiences there. That is also the number one high school in Columbus, Georgia, and I know it's in the top 10 in the whole state. 1992, I flew by myself for the first time to Chicago, Illinois, to a summer camp at Lake Forest College. Not Wake Forest, mind you, North Carolina. These were Wake Forests, and this was Lake Forest. And I was the type of young lady that I was such a nerd, as you would call it. Like, there was no internet at the time to go online and Google these, where these little pre-college camps were. So I don't even know how I found out about it. I think I saw something in the guidance office, a brochure, but I was so into, like, so excited about going to college, even as a freshman in high school. And this was one of those pre-college programs you can stay in the dorm for a couple of weeks and take some class and all this. It was like, oh, that's super cool. So my parents let me go to that. And that was a lot of fun. And they arranged for whoever was to meet me at the airport or whatever because I was a minor. In 1993, I turned sweet 16 and I had my first date. And I'm still in touch with this gentleman today. We've lost touch over the years, but we've reconnected. And, yeah, that was exciting. That was so exciting. You know, every girl's first date is exciting. In 1994, I got my first car. My dad bought me my first car, a blue Ford Escort 1990. And I was a senior in high school, started my senior year in 1995. I was graduated from high school and started college at Vandy. I wanted to go to Yale. I was accepted to Yale, but Vandy paid more money, and that's where my mom said I had to go. And ultimately, now I see how God's will worked out through it. I was very disappointed initially, obviously, wanted to go to Yale. I had been dreaming of it since I was in seventh grade. But that is was not the Lord's will for me. And so I did make the best of Vandy and enjoyed myself, you know, while I was there. And I did get student of the year, and I was in the top 5% of my high school graduating class too. That was good. In 1996, I got an internship with Ingram Industries, and that summer in Nashville, and I met another spectacular person who has poured into my life over the years, who's now a pastor in the Murfreesboro area, and he's just really blessed my life. Where you can see how the Lord, you know, sets up these divine connections and pathways. And it may not turn out to be, you know, that that's their husband or it's a long-term, you know, marriage or whatever, but the Lord has still blessed and impacted and influenced you through your interactions with those people. So, and I also have to say in college, 95, 96, I met my god sisters to this day, that we keep in touch quite frequently. Truly the best human friends I could ever have. These ladies have really been there for me, and I've been there for them, and I met them in 95 at Vandy. So again, God's, you know, orchestration of things. And by the half of 1997, I got baptized at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, October of 97. And I was discipled and taught and tutored in the Word by a student who was in the class behind me there at Vandy. A beautiful spirit and just radiant inside and out in terms of her love for the Lord. And I saw that, and I wanted that for my own life. And this is someone who didn't judge me about what I didn't know, or, you know, my ignorance, having gone to church my whole life even, you know, and being in the vacation Bible schools and the Sunday school and still not having enough knowledge because I hadn't really read and studied in depth for myself. Never judged me. Just sat and prayed with me and provided, you know, an open door and leading me to, you know, mentors and such to help get me introduced and inculcated into the faith. So that was a blessing. In 1998, I attended a wonderful youth and young adult conference called Impact. And it was a powerful experience as a young Christian. In 99, I graduated from Vandy, and Iowa Paul was born. So over the course of years at Vanderbilt, I actually met his father and his dad, and we procreated Paul. Although the process of how it came about was obviously not in God's perfect will, as marriage is supposed to precede any procreation. However, it was God's will. It's a blessing. And my son Paul has been the greatest blessing of my earthly life. So I thank God for him. In 2000, I started working in the school system. And then I went back to get my master's in 2001 and graduated with it in 2002 to become a counselor. So all of that was part of God's plan as well in the profession of counseling as a ministry for me. In 2003, I started my doctorate. 2004, I bought my first house. 2005, I joined fellowship. Missionary Baptist Church, which was my mom's church, still is her church of membership. But I joined that church at the time, and I became the youth minister. Changed my life. You know, absolutely an amazing spiritual experience. In 2006, I graduated from Union University with my doctorate. In 2007, I turned 30. And I came into a new knowledge of the Lord at that time, a deeper understanding, you know, at that particular juncture and place. In 2008, I moved to Texas, and though that was not in the Lord's perfect will either, we have free will. And so I made that decision. But in that way, that God provided a church family for us in Mansfield, Texas at that time for Paul and I, because we were away from our family. And they were a great blessing to us. In 2009, God blocked several things. God blocked several things that needed to be blocked in my life. I still went around them, right, and ultimately paid the consequences for that. But in retrospect, I can see how the Lord was trying to prevent certain things, and I just, you know, insisted upon my way. Which brings me, you know, to 2010, where it was a miracle that I survived an attempt to take my life by a very violent person there in Texas. In 2011, I started the Divine Experience Blog Talk Radio Show. In November of 2011, God spoke through someone who was not even a Christian about me doing this show, a Christian show, actually suggested, you need to do a Christian talk radio show because you are, you know, such a sold-out Christian. So God can speak through anyone because we all, you know, live and move and have our being in Him, whether people want to admit that or not. You know, He created all of us. 2012, I was blessed to be turning 35. I turned 35 in 2012. In 2013, I started Morning Manna initially through emails. And now it has gone to, of course, the Monday morning Facebook Live. In 2014, I started working at Millington Middle School, and the reason I say that was such a blessing is because there were two students out there while I was working out there with terminal cancer. One survived and one didn't, and then there was also another student with a disease at the time as well, chronic illness. But the way I was blessed by just knowing these angelic children and their families, it helped to sort of just reframe my whole way of thinking about life and understanding that it's not necessarily in the years that we live, but, you know, what's done, the number of years we live, but what's done in the years that we live and how we can truly, you know, make a tremendous difference by how we carry ourselves and the light that we shine, even in our suffering. We just, you know, don't know. And to this day, one of the children, you know, I carry with me certain nuggets of truth, because this child was also a Christian, that inspire me and uplift me and motivate me to this day. You know, so I know that the Lord placed me there for that time and that season. In 2015, I had my 20th high school class reunion and got to reconnect with some classmates. 2016, I bought my second house. And 2017, I turned 40 and went to Hawaii, which was a nice, you know, to be able to do that. It was an epic experience in a lot of ways, but it was a blessing to be able to get there. And 2018, I received my LPC, my independent practitioner's counselor's license. 2019, I got my job at Maxine Smith STEAM Academy, which I'm now moving on into other professional ventures. But it's a blessing to be at the best school, certainly in the district on the middle school level, and then among the best in the state of Tennessee in the region. And then I bought my current house I'm in. The Lord provided favor in that. In 2020, I saw my son off to the Air Force. In 2021, I got to visit him in New Jersey, and now we are at 2022. So, you know, there's a summary of my life. Has it turned out exactly the way I would have thought or hoped? Not by a long shot in a lot of ways. But the Lord is still faithful. He is truly amazing, marvelous, magnificent. And he does not change. He is consistent. So through all of the craziness I experienced and went through, God, you know, he was there. And my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ welcomed me with open arms every time I strayed or sought my own pathway. He just welcomed me back with open arms. And so I want to say this in closing, here are the last 4 minutes. First talking about birthday wishes and birthday goals. My birthday wishes, I want more opportunities to disseminate the gospel. That's what I'm about at this stage and at this time of my life and at this season where we are in the world, this era. It's all about helping souls to see Jesus in me and, you know, understanding how crucial, how it is exigent. The time is now to come to the Lord while there is time, redeem the time while it is at hand. And I want to still have continued health and strength. And I want peace. I want peace. I have peace now. For many years of my life, I didn't have it. And it was almost like I was running from it, you know. I was running from peace for many years of my life. And now I run toward it now that I see the contentment it brings. He will keep us in perfect peace when we are, our minds are stayed on him, set, fixed on him. And that's really what I try to do now, to just keep myself going. And my birthday goals, I want to be in alignment, total alignment with God's will for my life, whatever that includes. I want to become conversational in Spanish. I'm not even thinking about fluency yet. I'm just working on the basics and take up a couple of other talents. But in closing, in the last 5 minutes, I do want to just mention something that I shared when I had my brief post, my video on recognizing and respecting our collective humanity. I did mention two petitions that I will be putting forth. This is of my own personal conviction and not how I feel that the Holy Spirit is leading me. One, that we stop, just colloquially speaking, generally is how we communicate with each other. I wish and hope to see and pray that we'll stop referring to each other as black and white because people are not colors. We come from various ethnic backgrounds and no one else is referred to colloquially by color. Latin Americans are not, Native American Indians are not, Asian Americans or not. It's just those of African American descent, Caucasian descent, and Caucasian American. And it, you know, clearly we are not black or white, right, Abid? If I hold a piece of notebook paper, the palest Caucasian American is not going to be that complexion, right? And vice versa, if we, you know, the basic black smart TV, I mean, you know, that is not going to describe the complexion of an African-American person, no matter how darkly, you know, complexion that person may be. And so these are not even accurate references, and we know they are rooted in slave ideology to create this illusion of some dichotomy or juxtaposition to, of course, promote quote-unquote white supremacy or that theory or ideology that there is some superiority of the Anglican race. And we know we don't supportively do that. I'm hoping and praying nobody listening to this show today would be in support of any of that nonsense. And so, but how we refer to each other is a big part of that, right? And then, so if we can reform that, reformulate that, we can start to move forward, because it is dehumanizing to refer to ourselves as colors. And then the petition part of it would be to have that completely removed from applications to college, from work applications. And people will say, well, how can you ensure diversity if you don't ask it? Well, actually, you know, the old adage applies, what you don't know can't hurt you. If you don't know it, it can't work against you. I recall entering a competition when I was in high school, and part of it was an essay. There was an essay portion of the competition, and the way they made sure it was absolutely fair, that no biases of a demographic nature could influence the evaluators. This is all the information they had. They had the essay, the rubric, and a number. Every essay had a number, so the evaluators did not get anything but that essay, the student's essay, a rubric, and the number. So I did win, but it is highly doubtful in the deep south of Georgia in the mid-90s, given, you know, what you can presume with the composition of the evaluation panel, that I would have won. That's just what I'm going to say on that. You know, the diversity will come if you just, you know, looking at the qualifications of the individuals, it's going to come anyway. You don't have to try to contrive it. And when it's contrived, it just doesn't work. That's why so many aspects of affirmative action failed when it was put in place, because there were biases against people of certain ethnicities to receive opportunities. But what they did on the flip side of that is, once they met their quote-unquote quotas, then they just said, well, we met the quota. We have enough of the so-called tokens, but we're just going to reject everybody else. And then those people won't get looked at fairly. So they realized none of that works. The best thing to do, because of people's prejudices and bigotry and biases, is just leave it off. Don't even ask it, right? And you might say, well, somebody can go to social media, they could leave a profile, they can still, yeah, but that's extra steps. And they may or may not do that, right? But the thing is, we can reduce a lot of the instances if we just don't ask it. They may or may not take the extra steps. But we know if we cut that question out, then that can't be a we can't make it such an easy way for somebody to discriminate, right? So that's one thing. And the second thing, very quickly, because I know that I'm out of time, it relates to
you know, this gun policy, you know, that's out there, or gun reform, gun legislation. So the second petition will be to completely outlaw all firearms, handguns, whatever you call it, that type of weaponry or whatever, from the general public. Which would include police officers. In other countries, police officers do not carry, they do not carry handguns as part of their job. And believe it or not, there are lower instances of crime. There are lower instances of murder, homicides, mass murders, rapes, all that kind of stuff. It's very interesting how they have fewer problems with fewer guns. It's not really so surprising if you think about it and do the research. But the bottom line is it's not working. The Second Amendment is not working. Violence begets violence. So I'm calling for a revocation of the Second Amendment. That was put into place during a time of the Revolutionary War in this country, which was hundreds of years ago, right? The world is a completely different place. Obviously, if we go to war and the military, they would, you know, need to have certain artillery or whatever the case may be. As far as I see it right now, there's no way around that if that happens. But that's the only case that I'm, you know, saying there needs to be, you know, weapons used because it's just not working, you know, and Buffalo and Uvalde, those are just the two most recent large-scale incidents. Of course, there were these smaller instances I mentioned earlier in the show. And what they're saying now about requesting the mental health records of those under the age of 21, Peyton G. And Salvador Ramos, they didn't have mental health records. They had nothing on the books that said that they were mentally ill or had any kind of issues, so they would have passed mental health checks. That's got nothing to do with anything. That's not going to help anything. This last man, who was 70 years old and went to this church, he was a federally licensed firearm owner and went into a church and just started blowing people away, being law-abiding. None of that has anything to do with anything. People just don't need guns. Don't need guns. And again, it includes police officers because there is police brutality and misuse in that. Just because you're someone in a uniform and takes an oath doesn't mean that you're not subject to biases and abuses of authority, right? Last thing you want to do is put a gun, a lethal weapon, in the hands of somebody like that. You know, and we don't know who's who, right? That's the second petition. I'm out of time. Many people may or may not agree with me to front. I know a lot of people in my own family, very close to me, licensed firearm owner, you know, permit carrying, whatever. So I know they likely will not agree, and that's fine. But I've got to say and do what I feel like the Lord wants me to say and do at this point. So you see those petitions coming across social or Facebook or a different, you know, forms or aspects. That's why, because I'm just tired of it. Our children deserve better. They deserve to be protected from this insanity. And we're not doing such a good job when we care more about being able to carry weapons that destroy lives than we do about protecting our children. There's a backward reasoning with that. It's way off. So anyway, I look forward to being back with you prayerfully after I return from my trip and for part two. Blessed by Jesus to be alive at 45. And I hope that you have an awesome coming week. And as we're going into the 4th of July, a week from tomorrow, God be with you. Be safe, be well, and take care. Bye-bye.